Wi-Fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and welcome back, Daryl.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, really? That's very official.
That's about as official as I get.
Today, we will discuss Smallville, Chuck, and maybe some other things, you know, that we've been watching. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Smallville finale, and I thought it was excellent. So I wanted to talk about it here today with Daryl, who is official.
Yes, I am official.
So what'd you think about that finale? How did you like it? Is it a good comic book ending, or what is it?
I freaking loved it. Like, I can see, and it was something else that came up on the end of that we could talk about when we get to that point. Where I didn't even see the ties with Apocalypse, which is straight from the comic.
Oh, okay.
So I actually saw something in that now after looking at it again.
Oh, you watched it again? It was that good? It was that good.
Because it's got I know people complain that they put so much into this season with Apocalypse ties and Checkmate and Zod and
what else, you know, would they have done? I mean, this second half of, because I just realized it wasn't from Absolute Justice. That was not the whole season. There was like episodes before that, but right. Absolute Justice and after, I was extremely impressed. Everything was fast paced, and I liked the amount, even though I didn't particularly, you know, because I haven't been watching it really, and I don't read the comic books, and I didn't really know every detail that was going on. It was still enjoyable. So I disagree with people who said it was too much.
I mean, I used to watch it from season one. In season one, it would take him 3 episodes just to kiss Lana. Then it would take another 2 episodes for them to break up. Then it would take, it was just so freaking slow. I don't need all that slow. Just let's go. He's Clark Kent. He's trying to learn how to be Superman. And let's just get it going.
Yeah. And I think that they finally, like, I guess, paid attention to the audience or something like that, to where they know that we want to see action. We want to see action every week. And if you do that, hey, you get another season. 10
unlike
seasons
Hero.
Of the show. Dude, that is the show that will not be named or talked about.
Want to learn how to get your show canceled? Just read that.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad it got canceled. I mean, you know, I want the actors to have work. And, you know, I'm not being mean that way. But that show, it was god-awful. Sorry, Carl, if you're listening to this. Your show, it had its good points. I like some of the heroes. But the way they arranged it, crap.
It made me mad because it had so much potential.
Between
that show, and I watched every episode of Heroes because I just loved that.
I have two good.
But okay. The difference between Smallville and Heroes is that Smallville embraced, like, what I'm liking better about Smallville is they pretty much embrace the genre.
Yeah.
Heroes, they tried to ride the fence, and neither side was satisfied.
Smallville tried to do that at first.
Right.
They were there at first. And it kind of worked because it was some good storytelling. It was compelling. But, like, I agree. They embraced the costume. They embraced the big-ass logos. And you know, it's what you want from superheroes. It's superheroes, for crying out loud. Don't do it. So, I think if we go back to episode called Upgrade, I think it was one of the best filmed episodes. Upgrade was the one where they were doing the action scenes, but they pause them and then they spin the camera around. And I think this is the one where Clark walked through that mirror because that guy was in the that lab trying to figure out who the blur was. And then he almost figured out who the blur were.
Maxwell Lord was trying to figure out.
Yeah.
His mother had hired Maxwell Lord to, well, that was later, but before that, he was trying to figure out who the blur was.
Yeah, so
he's so creepy. Like, the only thing I would have issue with that is Maxwell Lord in the comic, he's more like a mild-mannered business guy who's kind of quirky so that you would be comfortable with him, but he's always in the back of his mind, he does that to knock you off and not to realize that he's actually has a plot or a plan going on.
That episode was called Charade, not Upgrade. I got him confused. Yeah, so sorry.
Yeah, so that was the only thing they messed it up with him, because he looks like a pedophile. I'm sorry. Dude looked like a pedophile.
Pretty creepy, so I don't know.
If you sit in a room with him, the first thing I'm going to think of is there a bad guy in the room. I'm pointing to him. Like, there's no, like, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm pointing straight to that guy.
And that's give him a chance. No, I'm kidding.
He's crazy. Would you go to a party with him? Mm-mm. Okay, then.
All
right. Even drink from him.
No, because he might have something in the drink.
Exactly. That's not how
I wake up with my kidney gone or something.
Exactly. All right. Why?
I'm not going to Candy Mountain when you do. No. So, Charade, I just thought it was just so. And then the Checkmate episodes. It's like every episode with, what's her name?
With you mean Martha Kent or
not Martha Kent? Checkmate Lady.
Oh, you talking about Amanda Waller, the character of Amanda Waller?
What's her name?
Pam Grier.
Pam Grier. Gosh, I can't ever remember that. See, I wanted to put that note down, and I didn't write it down, and that's why I can't. So her name was Waller. Pam Grier. Smack me, because I don't know who she is. Every episode with her seemed epic. They would always film it beautifully. It was just like they stepped up their game, and then they'd go to a kind of filler episode, and then she'd show up, and it's like, all right, showtime. And, you know.
I loved it. Well, she is a character in the comics. They play it up so well here because she's a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
Always one who believes in her country and her planet, but she is very hostile towards, well,
that's an understatement.
Metahumans or like aliens, because she's always looking for a threat.
Yeah.
That's always been her thing. And she'll use you. Like, you can be an alien or something, but she'll use you.
Mm-hmm.
She'll kidnap your mother and say, I'll kill her if you don't do a mission for me. Like, and she'll say, and she truly believes that she's doing the right thing.
And it's kind of hard to argue with her, because she kind of is, because some of them were bad, but she needed to have more of a radar to choose who was bad and who was good, and that is like her flaw.
Yeah, her deal is I shoot both of you, and then I figure it out later who was the good guy.
Yeah, that doesn't help, and that's why she, you know, got into trouble and, you know, lost control over everything. So
yeah.
But that's pretty good. Let's go to Sacrifice or episodes like it where we see Chloe and Tess like in an uneasy alliance. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they were always together. I kind of like these because they were like, okay, we need to work together to like get out of this situation, but then we still hate each other because they're still snipping over each other about Oliver and all these other things. So I thought the dynamic between them was pretty interesting.
Well, they were, for a point, they were like the other side of the same coin. Like Chloe, after she lost her husband, after he was murdered by Doomsday, she pretty much went straight, like, I don't care about emotions, friends. My job is just to protect the planet, and that's it. You know, I don't trust Clark to do the right thing because he wasn't there when I needed him to be. And Tess pretty much has been kicked in the stomach so many times by her being so hard and you know, not caring about people that, Tess has kind of been trying to, you know, get herself together and try to work with, you know, the good guys.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's kind of was too late. But, like, Chloe's been trying to do the opposite. Like, recently, like, probably because she's been getting some with Green Arrow.
That kind of helps her
get a little bit more sensitive towards her emotional side. But, you know, it got to a point where Clark was like, look, you are really, you know, you are really changing from the person that I used to know. Like, Chloe used to be the friend that everybody always would be supportive of Clark and trust people. And now she was lying and hiding weapons and planning to kill Kryptonians if they did something wrong and wasn't telling Clark.
But it's kind of enjoyable to see a little bit of a dark side sometimes, you know?
I like it too, because I like her character. So anytime they really put her on the back burner last season. So it's good to see her be able to do so many. I mean, they didn't use her as much this season, but when they did use her, she was important to the story, which is what I like.
She still seems like the star to me. So it seemed like she was there every episode and all the time. So I enjoyed that.
She was Oracle. She
now, whoever seemed on the back burner, Lois seemed like she was on the back burner. She was not in a few episodes, which I'm not totally fond of her character, but
well, they did that on purpose. Like Lois, I mean, she was always she could be abrasive at first, mm-hmm. and then get to know about her. Then she comes off a little bit better, but she's always been pushy and, you know, loud mouth and stubborn. And I mean, that's just her character. For
maybe I don't like her cause I'm a little like that. Yeah, you better not. let's see. Martha Kent is the Red Queen.
I miss her.
I did not see that coming at all. Did you know about this, or did you see it coming? Was there hints?
I had hints because they said that she was coming back to the show for at least an episode. And when I heard that, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, episodes were coming. It's almost the end of the season. You have not seen or heard from Martha Kent. Then you get this thing with the Red Queen. So I'm like, you know what? Martha Kent is the Red Queen. Makes perfect sense.
Okay, I didn't see it. I thought maybe Chloe would have been it. I would have enjoyed it if Chloe was it, but it kind of doesn't make sense for her to be it. So, Martha Kent as the Red Queen, I like it.
Yeah, I saw it all before, like the sideways, I figured it all out. I figured it out from the first season, but I just, had to wait for things to happen and not caught up with it. But I knew it all.
Figured out what in the, figure what
I
out?
I figured out everything. I knew all about Smallville and how it was going to go down. I figured it all.
Oh, okay, we're being
I'm
funny.
That smart because I'm official. Yeah. I'm official.
Yeah. Okay, then. I'm a little slow. I'm still early. Still early. Okay, so Zod. I'm glad he's gone.
You didn't like Zod?
I liked seeing him be a bad guy. Like, the actor himself, love him. But Zod himself, he was just so wishy-washy. He kept playing... all sides, he kept playing Clark, he kept playing Tess, he was always up to some crazy crap, and he just wouldn't understand reason. His blind, I guess, mission for the Kandorians and his inability to see, things from other people's perspective, sort of like Amanda Waller, it just did not work.
That's Zod. Like, that's always been Zod. Like, if you, any of the movies, any of the, from the comics, from all... Zod is one person that Clark was actually to the verge of, I'll have to kill him. Like, that's been one villain that has brought him to the brink, or to the point. I think he did kill him in one of the old comics before they kind of rebooted it again. But yeah, Zod has been that. He's the schizophrenic guy. He's the one that he will lead an army to defend the Kryptonians and save the planet, but at the same time, he will stab somebody in the back because they disrespected him or he felt disrespected. I mean, he's
like the mother of his child. Wow. Exactly. That was just ridiculous. You need to kneel to me. Like, it was just such an uncomfortable episode. I mean, a scene to watch because, like, who are you, number one? Nobody kneels to know anyone like that unless it's some sort of, bedroom role play, which we won't get into. But it's just, I mean, really, who does that? How do you? Where is your brain from? That's just ridiculous.
And that's why Zod could have been the greatest champion in the world, and he never succeeds, and he always loses because of that. Because he has that quirk in his brain that tells him. And in real life, you have people like that. Like, mm-hmm. They are so smart, and they can do so much. But their damn arrogance, they just can't let stuff go. They just can't work with people. And they wind up always failing in something.
Yeah.
That's not. That's just the way you go.
Well, and then let's get to the finale where this, his arrogance betrayed him again, and even the weapon that he brought that he thought would stop Clark betrayed him. Was this the blue kryptonite?
Yep, he never realized. He just thought that automatically, my plan will work because it's my plan. He never takes into account how dangerous Clark is, because Clark just, he doesn't understand being that open. That's the thing with Clark and Superman, is that he is the most open person. He trusts people. He embraces people. When he sees someone, he wants to be friends with them instead of enemies. And Zod just doesn't understand that. That's something that he just doesn't get. Just like Amanda Waller. She doesn't get Clark. Because she's like, how can you have that much power and you want to help us? Because if she had asked him, like Injustice, if she had just asked the heroes to help her to fight a threat, they would have happily did it. Instead of wasting all this time trying to destroy them when they could have worked with her and probably stopped the threat a long time ago.
It's ridiculous.
That is always the tragic part of these characters. And that, I think that's what makes a good villain, is that it's just tragic because you're like, it's such a waste. You know, all stuff didn't have to go down like that. Your woman didn't have to die. You didn't. And as bad as that, he turned bad because this is the clone Zod. Mm-hmm, but Zod turned bad because his wife and kids were killed in a war. While he was fighting to defend the planet, they destroyed the city where his wife and kids were, and he was killed. And part of that was he was jealous that Clark's father was able to still have a family after everything that happened. He's like, well, why? I did so much and I lost my family. Why do you get to have a family?
Because some assholes killed him. That don't have anything to do with... that's ridiculous. The quirk. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the finale was really good. They did the Book of Rao. And, well, first they started it off with, I guess, a flash forward. And Lex Luthor was president. So that is maybe like foreshadowing to his return. I think you told me that he was returning last time we spoke.
Yeah, they said he would get... They're trying to hash out how they're going to do it, but he's going to be in at least, like, 8 episodes.
I thought he was the old lady knitting.
Now, we get to that. Apocalypse has a group of people. He's like the alien Hitler. That's what Apocalypse is. Right. He has a bunch of underlings that do different things. There is a character called Granny Goodness, and what she does is she takes the children, and she basically, how the camps, how they would inundate the kids with, you know, the German kids with
Hitler Youth,
that's basically what she would do. She would hit them with Darkseid, is, you know, you follow Darkseid's way and, you know, not being good, and you just follow orders no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's what she takes you and she brainwashes you, she twists you. So I'm thinking maybe she's an operative. She's going in to get Tess, because Tess has a lot of information about...
She didn't die. I thought she died.
You know, you never...
They have
technology. I mean, this is space alien technology. I'm pretty sure they could do something to save her, you know, at the last minute. So I think...
Clone her or something.
Yeah, I think that's what they want. They want the information that she had, because she worked with Checkmate. And Checkmate was the group that was basically kind of going against Apocalypse. What better way to get intel on the one group that knows about you?
That's true. You know, at first, when Waller saw the Red Queen chess piece on her chess board or whatever, and she was like, oh, we got overridden and the Red Queen is coming, I didn't know what to think about that. I thought, like, how is she... Amanda Waller is top dog. How is she listening to somebody else? But I guess since Mom is in the U.S. government, she has to listen to her, and it's, I guess, like, you know, all in tune with the government. And
Well, she listened.
I didn't get that at first, because I was like, well, who is this person? Are they coming out of left wing? How are they going to...
I don't think she know. Well, actually, they said the Red Queen is working kind of against Checkmate in terms of trying to find who the Red Blur is. She's been working against Checkmate in that sense. So she, Amanda Waller, doesn't even know who the Red Queen is.
Right, I figured that out, but yeah. I just didn't think that they would automatically, Red Queen is here, oh, we got to pack it up and go home, and that's basically what they did, and it just...
Because they've been infiltrated. Like, the biggest thing with Checkmate is that it's secret. Like, you're not supposed to know about Checkmate, and if you do know, then we're doing something wrong, and we have to break out, because... Mm-hmm. So, all their... They know now that they've been infiltrated. They don't know how much the enemy knows about their bases, who works for them, so... They have to go and regroup.
And the final thing is on Smallville, one thing that I'm so relieved is that Lois Lane finally knows Clark is the Blur.
I hate that. No, why? I don't hate that she knows. I'm saying I hate that they when they drag it on.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that it's called the Moonlight. Like, everybody has said it, like the moonlighting thing. Like, are they going to get together? First, it takes forever for them to get together. Then it takes forever for the one secret that keeps them from actually being a couple is the, you know, they did it with Lana where it took forever.
She still, did she ever find out?
She found out, but the thing that they had to throw in there is she found out, but now she got stuck in some kryptonite suit where she can't take it off, but it's in fact, it's totally inundated with kryptonite. So she can't ever be in the same area as him. Kind of like a kryptonite.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's the only... Well, they had to get rid of her, and I guess they didn't want to kill her. So that was the hokey way to have her not be dead, but, you know, still be there.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's...
I didn't miss
her,
though.
Ridiculous. But, yeah, no, because that... Wow, it was just some painful stuff watching her all the time. But I'm just glad, because I got sick of the secrets, and I got... It's just a strain. It's a strain. Yeah. And, you know, these relationships on these shows, sometimes they try to drag it out, but sometimes it just gets so painful to watch.
Because they don't need to.
Yeah. It's like, stop milking it, please. But, yeah, I'm glad she found out. And the 10th season is going to be interesting. I don't know what they're going to do because this seemed like a series finale to me. It seemed like they can end right here and everybody would be happy.
Well, it kind of was, well, like, because it was on the bubble for a long time while they were filming. So they pretty much filmed two versions, two endings.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were, the producers were like, they don't know, so they have to be prepared, which I hate. See, that's the thing I wish other shows would do, too. If you know you're on the bubble, kind of prepare yourselves and have something ready in case you don't get picked up. So they had an ending that would have just ended it. And then they had a ending that would leave kind of like a cliffhanger, so it worked.
So you're looking forward to next season?
Oh,
the 10th season?
Wait, because I want to see Lois and Clark, now that they know about each other, he can just go and really prepare himself for what he's going to do. Chloe's not a main cast member anymore. She's only going to be in a few episodes, so that means somebody else is going to be in the cast more, maybe some of the other Justice League members like Cyborg or well, I know Black Canary, she's still on she's still fighting the alien ticks on SGU.
So. Oh, yeah. I noticed her because when I saw her and Daniel Jackson in the finale, and I was like, oh my God, that's the lady from SGU.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize she had a part in here.
Yeah, yeah, she was the she played the Black Canary character for a minute. So they
was she good?
Not if you read the comics.
Ah,
if you read the comics, it was kind of off because the look of her, the way she, like, she was like a Republican kind of Republican reporter or whatever, one of those
Fox media, News.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those Fox News, she would play that character, but then in the background, she would be at night, she would be a vigilante, and that just wasn't Black Canary. I don't even know where they got that stuff from. Mm. She was basically, her mother was a hero before her. Her mother was part of the Justice Society.
Mm.
She's like a legacy character. Her mother was Black Canary. She took over the role afterwards, and she pretty much... She was a kick-ass. Like, she was trained in all these forms of fighting. She did have the scream. She married Green Arrow. Well, she hooked up with Green Arrow for a long time. They would break up, get back together, break up, and then she eventually married him. And then, you know, so all that history is with that character. So to make her so, I mean, she was just kind
of... Well, Chloe was in the way, so they couldn't really go full on with that. So.
Right, right. So, yeah. Cyborg can do stuff. I mean, I don't think he's doing anything right now. So
yeah, because he got killed on Flash Forward, so...
He can be the next... He could kind of take over for Chloe, since he's good in computers, too. So if Chloe's not going to be a regular cast member, he could kind of...
You know, that's logical, but they're not going to do that.
I know, wishful thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to see him every week. Those eyes are so pretty. Okay, speaking of frustrated relationships... Let's go to Chuck.
Yeah.
So I really, really, really loved the first two seasons. First two seasons I watched in maybe 2 weeks or so. Just wow. In a 2-week marathon, because I just could eat those episodes up like nothing. They were just so interesting, so funny. And then this third season, just, it was painful to me. It was a little boring because with the back and forth with Sarah, there were very funny things in Chuck that made me keep watching. But, I mean, do you feel that way, or how are you?
Yeah, I didn't get in. Like, I thought it was, in the beginning, I didn't really watch it that well. I would watch the episodes, but I was like, okay, you know. And then as it got into the intersect and, you know, they got more into that, I started getting into it. And then they had Scott Bakula on there. And then
That just okay. Oh wow, because he said he was introduced at the end of season 2. Oh, yeah. And I just thought he was going to be more of a regular character. Mm-hmm. And I really just was looking forward to seeing that. And then of course, end of third season, they freaking killed him.
I knew he had a red shirt on. Like when I finished watching, when he came into the episode when I watched it last night, I was like, he got a red shirt on. I already knew, because he kept saying to his son, if we do this, you know, they could kill us if we do this. We have to run. And the son was like, we can't. You know, this is somebody I love, blah, blah, blah. As soon as he said, we do it smart, I'm like, you're dead.
Soon as he said... he walked away from Ellie, and he's like, this is the first time I will abandon... I mean, this is the last time that I will abandon you. I was like, yeah. That dude is getting ready to die in a few seconds.
Oh, he's gone. He was so gone, it wasn't even funny. I was like, and plus, even him revealing it to Ellie, I knew he was dead. You know, just coming back to Ellie and talking to her and whatnot. But I did love those scenes that showed them as kids.
I thought they were forced, because, you know, what I thought, or what I remember, I could be wrong because I watched the episode so fast, is that I thought Mom was dead, and they thought Mom was dead. Now, they're saying that Mom left, and that's a big difference to me. Am I wrong in thinking that, or how?
Well, I thought, if the father had so many secrets from his kids, and he's been so into this... spy thing, why couldn't the mother, why, you know, I was thinking maybe there was something with the mother, maybe she was a double agent.
And I thought she died of cancer or something. I assumed that or something.
I never remembered hearing what happened to her. I just thought she just disappeared. Like, that's all I remember. Because I thought I remembered Ellie... being mad or being very protective of Chuck because of what the mother did.
Wow. Well, maybe I got that confused, because she always had such, you know, animosity towards Dad, because he was the one who left. And then Mom was the one who died. But it's been a while, so I don't know. But I don't know. It just seemed like, oh, you know, now Dad is dead. We're going to introduce Mom, and oh, guess what? She's an agent, too. And hey, there's a secret layer underneath the house that you grew up in, and let's go there. And I don't know.
And let's not forget all that stuff with Chuck, his brain deteriorating. No, it's not. It's really, he already had a part of the intersect in him when he was a kid.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I know, and then it was like, well, why would you throw that in there? I guess that's a way of, you can get rid of the watch thing later on, but I'm like, you just threw it, you had all this time of him deteriorating, and then you just threw in that he pretty much was able to handle the intersect as a child. So, and then he threw in I just rebooted. Like,
it was a good like hero moment. I rebooted, and then I'm gonna whoop your ass. It was a good hero moment, but it was just like, oh.
But when he put the watch on, I'm like, you don't need the watch now. You just said to us that your brain can handle the intersect. You really don't need it. That's your special ability. Because they always said he was special. It was always something about him that made him more special than just him being a good guy, him being smart. It was something else. Like, I always got the sense there was something else, but they never revealed anything.
I never got the sense that there was anything else, because, you know, wouldn't somebody know about it? You know, I just think they wrote that on the ass end. It's a new development, and they forced a lot of it. And I'm not necessarily mad at it. It's going to be interesting, but I don't know. It's some forced writing, maybe me just not paying attention. It's one of the two, maybe a combination of both. I don't know.
Well, the whole thing with the lion, like, everybody seems to know now. So it's
I'm so glad Ellie knows. That was painful too.
But now he's gonna lie to her about something else, because she made him do the promise. And I knew
she's always setting herself up for that crap. And you know what? I think she's a sleeper agent, Ellie. She doesn't know.
It would be something if they wind up putting something like some kind of suggestive thing in her brain that he has to take down his sister. Like, that would be something I would like to see.
That would be good.
Because I already think that the mother was already brainwashed. Because they said, we have to move you. Because the case file said missing. I don't think she's with the government. I think they took her. I think the ring, one of those...
What, like the Russians or something? I mean, what, I don't...
One of those agencies. Because remember when you went in the back, saw all those different undercover agencies that he's been fighting all these years. I think one of those agencies took the mother and pretty much got all the information that the mother had, maybe used her as a recorder and that she didn't even know, like, everything she's experienced.
I just think the mom is evil and maybe she runs the ring.
That could be it too. She could be that. I would love that, but I don't know if Chuck would go that dark, but I would love that though, to have
it be different, because this sunny shiny crap that they're doing. And I'm so sick of him. Sarah, I love you. Tell me you love me. I can't concentrate if I'm emotionally, challenged and blah, blah. And I'm just like, oh, my God, would you kill me already?
I hated Shaw. I hated that whole...
I love Shaw. I like evil Shaw.
Evil Shaw, but I hated in the beginning when they thought he was good Shaw.
Wasn't he always good Shaw, and then he got turned to good Shaw
until he found out that Sarah killed his wife.
And then he turned to bad. I like bad Shaw. Bad Shaw is deliciously evil. I love
that. Yeah, because he's so evil that he's the good thing about that, him being so evil, is this dude looks like he's such a good guy.
I know. He has the all-American awesome look, and people say, oh, he's such a good kid, blah, blah.
And he's evil. So I like him when he finally got away from the Sarah and Shaw dating crap, and then they just made him bad, and he went from there. That's what I enjoyed. I got tired of everything where they kept throwing in all these invisible obstacles for Chuck and Sarah getting together.
It was tiresome.
You didn't need it. It's like, was the purpose? Everything you taught me, turn around. Oh, now he's dying. So that's another obstacle. And the idiot has to lie to her. I'm like, could you stop? Chuck is like, the thing that frustrates me about Chuck sometimes is that he lies. He never listens to anyone's advice.
I saw that tweet and I didn't know what you meant by it.
It's like his father would try to tell him something. He doesn't hear it. His sister would try to. He didn't hear it. Sarah, who's been an agent for quite a long time, would try to. You know, you can't lie. Why keep lies from us? Like, if you keep lies from the government, okay. But now, me and you are together. Why are you lying to me?
Well, maybe he got accustomed to lying, or he doesn't want to hurt or disappoint people. Because it's always with a good intention. He's not trying to...
I know, he always has. But it's like, he lies about things that are so important that it bites him in the ass later. It's like, you would think he would learn by now that he doesn't lie about little stuff. He lies about stuff that is important for the mission. Like, we get killed with the lies that he tells. Yeah. You know, just with the whole thing with the T-rating brain, and then when he entered, when he busts into the, his father said to him, "Why would he let you? If Shaw was hiding all this time, why would he let you see him go into this room? Why would he let you see that he's alive? He must be trying to lead you somewhere."
Yeah.
So why would you just run in there and just not think about where you are first? That's what makes me frustrated with y'all. And I know Casey just, he balances out stupid stuff that Chuck does.
Oh, that's such a great character, Casey. I could just watch him every week just doing crazy crap. And
I love the daughter.
You do? I like that she knows how to fight. I'm pretty sure he was impressed with that. He's like, "Ooh, my girl. She kicked me in the face. Good kid."
I like him and Morgan. I didn't think I would, but I like the chemistry with him and Morgan.
Seriously. Like, I don't hate it or anything. It was just there for me, but you like it.
It just brought out the, it made me think of, because Casey is such a straight-laced psycho, that to have somebody, like, that's how Chuck used to be in the beginning to Casey. Casey, you know, Chuck used to be the
idiot, yeah.
And even though Casey wanted to hate Chuck, he couldn't. You know, part of him deep down, you know he liked him.
Yeah.
You know he wanted to hate him. Now Chuck is a little bit more worldly in things, can't be that character anymore. So yeah. Now they pretty much put Morgan into, they stuck him into that role of being the happy-go-lucky nerd
who
Casey can't stand, but he still likes her. But yeah. Not when he starts dating his sister, because you know
oh,
that.
Oh, man. Yeah, him dating the daughter, that's just bad for business. But it'll make great comedy. Great comedy.
Oh, and the part where they're fighting in the Buy More at the end, the last episode, and you see the video with the other two idiots.
Jeff and Lester. I saw a YouTube clip of the entire thing. It is bad all the way through. I will put a link in the show notes for everybody so they can see it. But wow, that is some awful stuff.
I was cracking up throughout the whole fight. I had to pardon me, I wanted to look at the fight, but I kept looking at the screen.
Because it's like, what are they doing? And this is one of those things that it is so bad that it's funny. It's underground geek stuff right there.
And don't you think by now the Buy More company corporation is saying there's something going on in this area with Buy More? What the hell is up with that? There's always police.
Well, if they weren't saying it then, they are saying it now because it blew up. And you know what? I was kind of amused and happy to see the Buy More blow up. I mean, who doesn't want to see something that's just really crappy and soul-sucking, just get it out of here, and it's just hilarious, you know? Not that I'm condoning people blowing up business.
Sure you're not.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that, but it was funny for the show.
Yeah, it was, because you saw it coming. Like, it can't end without an explosion. It's a season finale. Something gotta blow up. I gotta see something blow up. You know it. Every season finale has an explosion.
Well, good. And that was a really good one. Because, what are they going to do now? I have no idea. Huh? What'd you say?
Work at Radio Shack? Work at the mall?
No, they're going to build it again. And I don't know what they're going to do, but I bet it's going to be ridiculous. And it would not be the same without having Big Mike there eating his Subway and his donuts. And Jeffster.
He had me cracking when him getting ready to eat his sandwich. And I swear, it always happens to me when you get ready to eat your sandwich in the morning and somebody got to call you. I swear to God, that always happens.
I know he spread his little paper and set the sandwich up and talked to it with his little drink there. And he just it's just a ritual. And then
somebody was watching me because they know that's just how I do. You know, I put the food down, I start talking to it, what I'm going to do to it when I get it. And then somebody calls me and messes y'all up.
You might have a problem, sir. People don't
interrupt
that.
My kung fu right there. That's don't interrupt my kung fu. I'm getting ready to eat.
That's hilarious.
And a black man have a sandwich and tea.
Oh, man. Obviously not. Oh, my God. But that sandwich, I appreciate the Subway product placement in this. The way they do it in this show. It's like no other show can really do it that way. And, it, you know, have the campy cheesiness, but still be effective. You know? I like that.
I love it. Because it didn't for once, because usually it's annoying. For once, it didn't feel like a placement. It just felt like this guy was going to sit at his desk and eat his sandwich because he looks like me. He looks like he eats sandwiches a lot. So he looks like he was going to just eat his sandwich, and it didn't look like it was a commercial for Subway. So that's what I liked about it. I know it's got criticisms from some of my friends who are like, it's making fun of geeks in a way. Did they say that about the show? And I thought
It's a poking fun. Like, you know, you can talk about yourself, but nobody else can. And that's what this show kind of is.
Yeah. Because it's enough in the show that it's just not about that. And even but it shows geeks dating. And it's not all just, we're just strange and we can't deal with people. No, it shows geeks just having fun, and some of the stupid stuff they do, we do. You know, some of the stuff how we have fun, that is how we have fun sometimes, the way that we reenact, how we interact with each other. It's just, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, and that's what keeps me watching, but I gotta tell you, the Sarah Chuck thing, wow, they just need to back down off of it and write some good stories and just give the relationship a little bit of a rest. I don't want to see Chuck's girlfriend coming back making Sarah jealous. We know that's going to happen. I don't want to see Chuck. I don't know. I'm just tired of that. I want to see more action.
They're together now, so I don't need to see anything about how their relationship is going. Now
you know that is what this, that is the half thing of this show. That is 50% of this show, so you know you're going to get it.
I know, but I'd rather, at least for the first half of the season, I would just want to see him dealing with his father's, what his father's been doing.
You know the new manager of the Bymore, they just killed him in a back alley and left it, and nobody mentioned it.
Hilarious.
What did they do that? I think they're gonna like jump into the show just like that again. There was no mystery. There was no, hey, we found a body out back and blah. I mean, they just kind of like, screw it. We hate this guy. He's leaving. Let's shoot him and then see.
There are plenty of shows that I wish they had done that too. The idiot, you know, the jerk on that show. I wish they would have just took him in the back and killed him and went off to the next seat. I can name quite a few. Morhenda.
Mohinder? You didn't like Mohinder?
No, not me. You look up Wishy Washy and you will see him sitting on that page. Big letters. Because I'm going to take you down, but no, I'm going to be your friend. But no, I'm going to work with you, but no, I'm going to take you down. No, I'm going to work with you. Oh, kill him, please. You know what? I know what I'm going to do.
And then Silent was just like that, though.
So, I wanted him dead too. He was supposed to be dead at the end of the first day.
The people liked him so much, and I did too. But then they did him like they did the Borg in Voyager, where he just became a toothless.
Oh my god! Thing. It's like
something really, really horrific, but I'm glad I didn't.
Look, make him. They should have made him good in season two and left him good. He's just the Wolverine of the team or whatever it is, where he comes in. Sometimes he goes overboard, but he helps out. If that's what they wanted to do, they should have did it in the first place. But to keep him the I'm good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad.
Let me eat your brain.
Right. It's like you keep you might like
it's over. Let's not talk about it. Let's stop. Speaking of another thing that's over, flash forward.
Yeah.
You like that transition?
I like it. That's official.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Flash forward is gone, and I don't think anybody cares. I mean, I don't see myself joining any campaigns.
It's sad that the way it happened, it's sad that, because it had a potential when it first came on, it had such potential. When you start firing or producers start leaving, that makes me worry. And it was a good thing to worry because they didn't know what to do with this show.
I don't know what the hell happened. And I think the last flash forward that they had, it was interesting. But, I mean, if they did take it another season, it would just been the same stuff that they did this season. That you're like, what? Oh, this is so disconnected. What?
First of all, what was the point of the people that worked in the hospital? What was that whole storyline? What was the purpose of that?
What do you mean? Like,
remember the doctor?
Oh, the guy. I don't know.
They had him in it, and
well, he was just a side character for Olivia to care about or something. And then
you have a show like this where you're thinking everything, every piece of something is part of this big mystery. That's what people were looking at. I'm looking at this guy, and when it got towards the end of the season, and I'm like, okay, so the only purpose that him and the woman that he hooked up with, and then the Asian woman who's been running and, like, you know, going through her little thing, the only thing they had to add to the story was love. Like, but in flash forward for most of the show, I want to see them trying to take down this organization and find out.
But they gave us too much, too soon, too fast. It's like we knew everything. It's like they took season 6 of Lost and put it in season 1, and then you're like, oh, yep. Okay, well, what am I watching this for?
It had all these, like, it's like they tried to throw all these organizations in and
wanted to be
in a hole. And, like, they tried to throw all that stuff in to keep us interested, but all you wind up doing was throwing so much crap into the show that you look at it and you go, well, wait a minute. I mean, there's no focus. Like, yeah. there's no real focus of it. And I swear they should have had more of the head of the organization. What was he called? Vance Corton? I can't think of the guy's name. The actor that plays him. The black guy that was the head of the...
That replaced the other one that jumped.
No, not him. Oh. The one that was always the head of the investigation. He was the head guy.
Oh, the one that thought he fell asleep on the toilet in his flash forward, right. And really he was shooting people.
Right. You gave us a lot. Like, I liked the little part of him where he pretty much blackmailed the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but where did that go?
Right, exactly. It's like they...
Where did Mosaic go? It was, like, useful, and it was good, and it had that awesome name, Mosaic. Yep. Wow.
It's like the... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just... And then they went to Africa, and they went to, Japan, and they did all... What? It was just too much.
Yep, and that's what hurt the show. It's like you... Like, they were so worried, I guess, with the ratings falling so fast, that they were so worried about what was happening that the stuff that people did like, they just dropped it and tried to, I think they just tried to make it such a more action-oriented show, which is fine, but you don't take away everything. There was something that we did like because we did watch a few episodes before we stopped.
And so, that break, the break that happened for Flash Forward and V just... Wow, it really hurt those shows a lot.
Yeah, that does. And that was all to get the show to, quote-unquote, fix it, is what they were doing.
No, it was the Olympic break. You remember they had to take a break for the Olympics?
That's right. But they did change the show.
Yeah, they did. They did. They refocused everything. And,
it could have been so good. And it looks like, what do you think? Because it looks like he either got stuck in time or he went...
No, it's like... The Flash, they blacked out, and they had a flash forward of that day that they were the last day. But on the last day, they had another blackout in the time that they were blacked out the first time. So it was some real circle jerk type crap.
But his daughter in her flash forward saw herself as older, and she said they found him.
Right. So it was a flash forward.
But I'm thinking that because you don't see him. I'm thinking that when he jumped out the window, whatever, into the wave. I'm thinking that when the explosion hit, I think they would have said something where he went forward in time.
Well, when you look back at the building, the building was exploding, but you didn't see the helicopter there either.
Right. So I wonder if the Flash kind of, because I don't think they found a body. Like, because she said, why would she say they found him?
Yeah, but... You know, I'm tired, and it doesn't really matter because the show's gone. So that's my answer to everything.
No, they were in purgatory. I got it.
Don't you start.
I can't help it. I'm still bitter.
Oh, you come on. You have to take it for what it is and accept what the writers did and look at it at a beautiful piece.
If they mean that, then why are they throwing all these side things in there to kind of give you more answers? Like, what if they keep talking about they're going to do something on a DVD and throw in all this other stuff to give you more information? Why?
Because they want you to buy that DVD, man.
I'm not touching that DVD. I'm done. You're dead to me, Lost. You hurt me. You hurt me.
Oh, don't be such a wounded, whiny boy.
They hurt me.
Okay.
Can't move on and let it go.
I might do another Lost episode. I'm not sure. Get Joe opinionated back, and because she's like the Lost extraordinaire, so I'd love to hear her opinion. So that's coming in the future, but... Oh, I'm kind of tired of Lost myself. But, you know, Daryl, I want to wrap up this show. Thank you for talking with me about Smallville and Chuck and a little bit about Flash Forward and heckling heroes and Lost. That was fun.
Always fun. Thanks for having me.
Okay. And, guys, give us a call at 773-336-2686 to leave your voicemail, leave your comments on scifipartyline.com. And tweet us at Sci-Fi Party Line on Twitter, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.